The Mike Lupica Podcast.
New York Daily News columnist and best-selling author.
Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody wants everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A billion-dollar industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Today's show is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
If it's going to be a quarterback weekend in the National Football League, the smartest one I know is Archie Manning, one of the great and distinguished gentlemen in the history of pro football. I call him the original 18 from the University of Mississippi. Had some tough times in the pros, but became one of the best quarterbacks of his time. He and Olivia have three sons, Cooper, Eli, Peyton. You know what Peyton and Eli have done. Cooper's one of my favorite people on the planet, and we bring him back because if we're going to talk about quarterbacks, I got to talk to Archie Manning. Hey, Arch.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Well, you know what, Arch, let me start here. And I think the first time I ever had you on this podcast, we might have talked about this. One of the most fun conversations for me in sports is people talking about who they think's the best quarterback of all time, ranking the best quarterbacks of all time. And well, let's take the Mannings out of the conversation for a second. Arch, how much do you simply apply the eye test to the position, and then how much do you factor in NFL titles? Because you know that as much impact as a quarterback can have on a football game, he can only have so much impact.
Sure. And I think it's just natural you factor it in. Hey, and if that's the way you want to differentiate and come to a decision or conclusion, you know, that's fine, because that's what everyone's in the game for, and that's to win. But I can tell you, I followed the position a long, long time, and there's just some great, great quarterbacks out there that I just thought the world of as players that just weren't fortunate enough to have a team good enough to get them to a championship or to a Super Bowl during the Super Bowl era. Of course, they were great ones before, and I think that's hard too, Mike, to compare eras. You know, we're in a time right now that is just stats galore because of the game, the rule changes, even what's going on in high schools with throwing the football, moving these kids into college and spread formations and throwing for huge yards. There was a game this year, Texas Tech played Oklahoma. They combined for 1,750 yards passing in the game. I've never heard of such thing. And so, you know, now these quarterbacks are coming to the pros. It's a little more of that. You spread them out, the rules. It's tough on defenses, and it's big numbers out there. So I don't think you can always go by the stats either. But still, it makes for good conversation, good argument, good things to talk about over a beer. But I just think there's a lot of factors out there when you start talking about and it's very difficult to come up with the best of all time. But there's a lot of good ones playing this game right now. And it's four real good ones playing this Sunday.
I'm talking to one of my favorite people on the planet. I call him actually Olivia Manning's husband. Arch, let me go back. Let me go back to last Sunday's Packers-Dallas game, which is one of the most fun football games I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When it gets to be 28 all, okay, what do you see from both quarterbacks the rest of the way? Because I thought it was a great trial by fire for Dak Prescott playing the biggest game of his life. And on the other side, you got Rodgers, Arch, who plays the game, the position at as high a level as I've ever seen, but has had all these heartbreak games in the month of January. What's your gut telling you about that game as we go down the stretch?
Well, he has had heartbreak games, but he's a great player. He's been a great player, and you're right. He's playing as good as I've ever seen him play. And the way he's doing, his ability, his escapability, his ability to, what I guess they call it, extend the play. But not just that, the way he almost doesn't throw a football. He flicks a football. And the last play where he's, You know, I think it's third and 20. You know, they're going to go into overtime right here. It's a design play where he drops and scrambles to his left, but finds that guy coming across the middle. He doesn't throw that ball. Just don't know. He just flicks it out there. It was a beautiful throw, a well-executed play, wins a football game. You can't say enough about him, how good he is and how well he's playing. I think Dak has answered every challenge this year. Granted, he's playing with a great offensive line. I think their young running back's one of the best back. You know, I'd gotten in this mindset, Mike, I think like a lot of people, I'm not sure I spend a top 10, maybe even a top 20 draft choice on a running back. Go out in colleges, even small colleges, and find you three or four in the fourth round because they're going to get hurt. So why not just have a committee? But he changed my mind on that. Ezekiel Elliott, he takes a no-gainer and makes four, and he takes a four-yard gainer and makes 12. And so that's a plus for Dak. I thought Dez played as hard as I've ever seen him play. He's a great receiver, but I thought he tried to single-handedly bring them back last week and make plays, which he did. Witten's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, Dax, yes, he's fortunate to have these weapons, but still he's done his job, especially as a rookie. And, you know, I know Dak. We had him in our football camp for 2 years. I got to have some teams, some personnel people, some coaches tell me why he lasted to the fourth round. I mean, I didn't say he was going to be a top 10. You know, I thought, sure, I'm just reading here, you know, second round, certainly, maybe early second, maybe definitely late second. They got to explain to me what they saw. I know he had one little hiccup in college, but Mike, how can he last to the fourth round? I mean, his composure, his physical ability, you know, and everybody's not taking into account the plays he can make running too. He's 240 pounds. So I thought he answered throughout the year, every challenge, and that was especially impressive last week, the way he brought his team back.
You know, we're talking to the great Archie Manning on the Mike Lubica podcast. Arch has three sons. I have three sons. All our sons know each other. My sons have made me smarter about sports, and they've enabled me to stay more current because I see it through their eyes. But I never presume that I'm seeing the game that you're watching, Arch. A lot was made after that game about the Cowboys spiking the ball on that last drive. Did that send up, did an alarm go off for you when they wasted it down there?
Yeah. I thought they needed to. Yeah, I mean, especially when if you're going to give it back to an Aaron Rodgers and the way he's playing, you know, milk it to the end. Now, you know, I just praise Dak. You can't learn everything in your first year, and it's different. It's a big transition from college, and that's I think an experience thing. And hey, I see coaches every week that don't do a good job with their team of managing the clock. I see some quarterbacks do it better than others, but I just thought that was going across my mind. I even got a text just about that time from a retired quarterback that I know who said shouldn't have spiked it right there.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of part of that's part of the position. But it's not just the quarterback. It's coaches, too, of the clock management. It's so many scenarios that can come up. And you really can't go over every one of them or plan on every one of them because football just throws things out there at you. But I think when you're going against Aaron Rodgers, do everything you can not to give him the football back.
I don't want to bring up unpleasant memories, but let me go back a week to the Giants against the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah.
Arch, could you believe that 5 years later, the other team completed the Hail Mary pass at the end of the first half the way Eli did to Knicks when the Giants went in there, the Packers were 15-1.
I couldn't believe they did it on a straight throwing catch. But hey, that's football. And, you know, those guys are back there trying. It just – football is oblong. It bounces funny. I mean, there's no young player out there had a better year than Landon Collins. And, you know, that secondary's got some tremendous athletes in it for the Giants. But it happens. It happens. And I guess what goes around comes around. But that's the first thing I thought of when they hit it. I said, oh, my gosh, I was there in Green Bay that day when Akeem went up and made that catch. It was right before the half. It was the same thing. So that's football.
You know, Arch, again, you're seeing the thing different than I'm seeing it. So I'm just watching the ball come down. But I bet you there was a part of the original 18 who's thinking, there's no Giants behind Randall Cobb.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine Randall got back there. I'm a big Randall Cobb fan. I have been since he played at Kentucky. But, you know, it's almost amazing that a receiver, and Randall's a great one, could make that catch because you're anticipating a tip. That's what you go down there for. You go down there, wait for the deep, there be the jump, that tip, and you try to be the guy to catch the ball. And he had to be more surprised than anyone that it came straight down into his hands.
As you're watching that game, Arch, and I think all Giants fans are watching it the same way. I heard somebody say on social media that the Giants were bringing field goals to a touchdown fight. Okay, as they're out playing them early in the game, are you thinking you can't leave this guy in the game, and the Giants ought to be up two touchdowns?
Yeah. Well, we should have got a couple early touchdowns. We had chances. It's been a struggle throughout the year, kind of starting with running the football and getting in the end zone enough. Some red zone problems, but in that game, the defense kind of seemed to have the Packers on the ropes a little bit early, and you know that's not going to last for four quarters. It certainly would have been advantageous to get points and get touchdowns, and we just didn't get it done there. Now the defense made great strides this year, and the second half the Packers did start moving the football. But you know the way they're playing, they move it on a lot of people, and they're gonna move it on just about anyone. So I'm not down on that defense. I thought they did a great job this year. I know the offense wants to take up the slack and make big improvements throughout this. This off season, probably some personnel changes, but also people just get better and be a better and more balanced offense next year.
But Arch, we're talking to Archie Manning, and Archie and I talk a lot across the football season, and we've talked, and I'm not telling anything out of school that Eli has had a big impact on Odell Beckham. That that it's not just they went to the same school in New Orleans, but they're close, and Eli with that calm of his has a way of doing as much as anybody can do to keep Odell calm. Arch, what? My opinion was he shouldn't have gone to Miami, but people drew a cause and effect that you simply couldn't apply to that game. That because he did that on his day off, that's why he played the way he did. Because my joke was afterwards, if Miami did that, where were the Giants defensive backs that Monday because they didn't cover Randall Cobb on the Hail Mary? Did you feel
I didn't get into that. You know, Mike, I'm 67 years old, and this is 2017, and the world is different. And so I didn't get into that. I love Odell. I think it's unfortunate that trip was made and then that he dropped some footballs, you know.
Yeah.
You can't sit here and say that's the reason, and it happens. He doesn't drop many. I guess Odell, in my opinion, again, I'm probably a little old-fashioned, But I love the kid. Eli does too. And I'll tell you this, he's a good person, and he's a really good football player. And, you know, when I worry about players is when I hear they're tardy. They're maybe running with a bad crowd. They're not doing the right thing off the field. They're showing up late. They're not prepared. They make mental mistakes. None of that with Odell. Eli said Odell couldn't be a more model during the week practice player, preparation, meetings, ready to go. And you see it, the guy loves to play the game. So But there's a process there, and I guess it's maturity. You know, it's changing a few things, and I guess after that, maybe some of the Giants a little concerned, Coach McAdoo, but he's going to be fine. You know, you got someone who wants to be great, and they're going to do what it takes to be great. And I'm fully confident Odell is. He's already a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type player, that he'll get even better. And the Giants have got to help Odell out. You know, we've got to run the ball better. We've got to balance things over. We've got to help him get rid of some double coverage. And it's just the entire offense has got to improve. And I'm confident they'll work real hard to doing that.
Talking to Archie Manning on the Mike Lupica podcast. Again, subscribe to this podcast and download it, because this is a conversation we give you every single week. It just gets a little better when Arch is on. Okay, let's go to the second game, the second championship game on Sunday. Ben Roethlisberger comes out of a pretty damn good quarterback draft that year, Arch, because it's produced four Super Bowl victories, a fifth Super Bowl game, and Roethlisberger now has a chance to go back to the big game. Arch, what do you like about him as a quarterback?
Well, I think I like the way Ben can kind of fake people. You know, he's a big guy and a big, strong guy. But he also can extend the play. I think he does the fake pump as well as anyone I've ever seen. And he's a good downfield thrower. Ben can mess up just like all of us did, and all the great ones out there do. But he battles. He competes. He's played for a great franchise there. Most of the time, good defense. He's got, you know, I talked about the Cowboys' talent on offense, but these two guys, Pittsburgh's got, I mean, my gosh, Bell is just unbelievable. And a little receiver can make so many plays, whether it's off a 5-yard pass or a 50-yard pass. So Pittsburgh is coached well. I like Mike Tomlin, what they do. And Ben just fits perfect. You know, he does his job. He's had a little problem at times staying healthy. He takes some licks. He's a big guy. But he battles and competes, and an excellent quarterback.
You know, Arch, I watch him play sometimes, and you talk about eras being different, but he reminds me a little bit of you, that he will hold the ball as long as he possibly can if he thinks he's still got a chance to make a play, and he pays a price for that.
And that's not always a plus, Mike. And I would advise it. You know, I know that's a, I know he's a tough guy. But my advice to quarterbacks has always been, get rid of the football. Know where you're going. Know where you're going with the football, and get rid of the football. And I say that, and give people that advice so they'll stay healthy. Because that's what a quarterback wants to do. You want to answer the bell each and every week. And I think by knowing what you're doing and getting rid of the football is the best way to do that.
More with Archie Manning after this.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or Barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Are they the most dangerous possible opponent for New England, even in Foxborough? You know, Arch, I think if at the start of the season we had been asked to handicap the AFC, we would have said, yeah, it's probably going to be the Steelers and the Patriots. But oh my goodness, mm-hmm. The way they're running it, and the way Brown's catching it, and the way Ben is playing, whether he's a little dinged up or not, it seems to me, when I look at that game, the only edge I can really give the Patriots is because they're at home.
Yeah, and that's the way I am. Like, I look at them, I say, sure, they can do it. You know, that offense and their defense always comes up with some good plans, and people make plays over there. But you said it. It still always comes back around to me for New England, besides the good players they have, and arguably the best coach of all time. They're at home. So do I think that they have the best chance? I can't say that, because whoever wins this one in Atlanta, and that's going to be a fun game. You know, in a Super Bowl, I think whoever that is will have a chance, because both of them are so good on offense. But it's hard to beat the Patriots at home. You know, they've lost championship games before, but they've been pretty tough at home.
Well,
I've got some questions. You know, if they cover number 11, who else are they going to throw to? You know, can it run it on Pittsburgh? But I never doubt them. You know, another thing, this game, I think these two games offer, Mike, I kind of pay attention to play callers in the league, who I think the best play callers are. And I think you got four great ones in this game. Todd Haley does. I think he's excellent calling plays. I think McCarthy's the best in the. I think Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton are the two best play callers in football. We've got a young one in Atlanta. You know, he's going to be a head coach now. He's excellent. I mean, it's incredible what he's done going in there and what he's done for Matt Ryan. And then, of course, Josh in New England, and he's going to be a head coach again. He's going to be a good one. I love the way he mixes things up and the way not only the play they're calling, but the way they implement plays and the things they do, different things each and every week, and bring a unknown receiver or a tight end in there and some kind of play. So it's a lot of good coaching going on, but that's what it's about, to get to the semifinals here, and I think we'll have two great games.
You know, we're talking to Archie Manning on the Mike Lupica podcast. Arch, you know, you were the one who reminded me. I forget what time we were talking, getting back to home field, that Peyton came off the bench in that San Diego game last year for the Broncos, okay? And the Broncos win a game that it looks like they're going to lose. And because they win that game, it ends up that they end up with home field for the championship game, or Brady might have been going for a fifth Super Bowl himself last year, and Peyton would have never gotten the chance to get his second.
Well, Mike, you know, history won't say or show a whole lot about that, but when I reflect on it, and I guess I followed Peyton's career as close as anything, I think it's something that'll it'll stand as it maybe as an important or bigger factor as anything in his career, especially winning a second Super Bowl, because it wouldn't, we all know it wouldn't have happened if they don't, but they're about to lose to San Diego.
Yep.
They're going, instead of being a one seed, they're going to be a six seed, and they're not going to win that. And as good as that defense was, they're not going to win that Super Bowl as a six seed. And it's a huge difference bringing those Patriots to Denver and the Broncos going to New England. Big difference. So it was a little, I've always thought there's a little destiny in football and faith there. And I think it was a little destiny right there that he got put into that game and that they were able to pull it out against the Chargers and then have that number one seed. Now, they still had to beat Pittsburgh, and they still had to beat New England at home, which wasn't easy. And they still had to, you know, they got after Cam Newton pretty good to win to beat a team that was red hot. But so I think it was a little destiny there.
And, you know, and the thing is, Arch, you look at it, and you look, again, I'll go right back to the way we started this conversation today, the way we evaluate quarterbacks. Okay. If Peyton doesn't come off the bench that day, if they don't end up at home, then he doesn't win the Super Bowl. But there's a whole lot of people who elevated Peyton's place in football history because he did win that Super Bowl. And you look at all the things that had to happen for him to be in a position to do that.
Yeah. It was football's got a lot of moving parts, Mike. And sometimes we try to, you know, break it down or give one guy credit for winning a game or one play winning a game. But there's so much work that goes into a game. You know, you hear these coaches talk about special teams, and I think we as fans, a lot of times we blow that off. Hey, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Look at those kicks those guys made last week.
Oh, my God. 350 yarders? 350 yarders?
These kickers just get, I mean, 50 yards is nothing anymore. It's nothing. They just line up and drill it, and they call timeout. It goes through. They call it, drill it again. I mean, these guys are just – and I know every now and then we start raising our eyebrows because they move the extra points back. And some Sunday, you know, they missed 12 or 13 extra points around the league. I'm not sure what that's about. But I guess these kickers, the way they just line up and drill a 50-yarder, sure does impress me.
Let's go to the NFC Championship game. I don't know how closely you followed the career of Matt Ryan, a Boston College man, Arch, but
he has had
a season. You know, you look at Brady, you look at Rodgers, you look at Ryan. Whoever wins the MVP award, I'm not going to say, oh, the other two guys got screwed. But from the start of the season until now, he's probably had the best year.
Yeah, no one's played better. And I followed Matt very close. I got to know Matt and his dad. The Sugar Bowl has an award each year that goes to a senior. No, not to a senior, to a quarterback. And it's voted on after the bowl games, called the Manning Award. And we had Matt won that. He and his dad came to town, spent time with him. Eli and Matt, Peyton and Matt are good friends, and Eli and Matt are close friends. He is a wonderful young man. So I've always followed him closely. I've always worried a little bit about the critics on him, and you know, I don't get too deep into saying quarterbacks choke. You know, Gary Player used to talk about golfers. He said we all choke, and we all choke on the golf course. But I think we can say the same thing about quarterbacks. If you call it choking, we all get ourselves in position where, you know, you don't succeed and you can't succeed, but it's not always the quarterback. But Matt's, I agree with you, no one's had a better year. And it's so impressive what they've done over there. And he's got some help with some, besides Julio, who's just a beast. But he's got some help from some, you know, less known players who've stepped up. Their runner cut these backs is kind of a thunder and lightning thing that I like. And Kyle Shanahan has been so impressive. But I'm really proud of Matt. I'm very proud of him. And this game with Green Bay is going to be good. It's going, if you like offensive football, you're going to enjoy this game.
You know, Arch, our dear departed friend, Danny Don Meredith, I asked him about choking one night. He had a brief incarnation as a tennis announcer with Bud Collins. And we're sitting in the bar one night. And I said to him, I said, does choking really exist? And he goes, well, of course it does. And he said, all choking is, Mike, is a cold rush of shit to the heart. And I said, Dandy, that's one of the...
Say it like Dandy Don.
Is that... But Arch, it's one of the great sports definitions I've ever heard. And you know, we're conditioned to focus on the last play or the last kick or the last thing that happens. But having played the game, you know that there's 20 other things that factored into the outcome of any football game.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. It's a lot of moving parts, as I said, in a football game. So many things. And it really is true that, you know, 11 guys out there at one time trying to do your job. When it breaks down, the head coach is stupid and the quarterback chokes. But that's not always the case.
Aaron Rodgers, when you go back now and look at the highlights of last Sunday's game against the Cowboys, he really did draw it up like a schoolyard play, Arch. And I was wondering, did you ever do that at the end of the game? Because you can actually see him saying to the guys, you go here and you go there and you go here. And it's like I'm sure your backyard games were.
Yeah, it really is. But it's pretty common as far as kind of a desperation play. And you know, they've been, my gosh, what they've done with Hail Marys is just phenomenal over the last couple of years. But that's a play that's really pretty common as far as a desperation play to drop. And then you set it up where it's a drawn-up roll, and he did it to his left because the left doesn't bother him any. Some quarterbacks would probably rather do that to the right. But the lineman set up, you know, to help him out with protection as he rolls out there. And he's got people going across the field. And so he didn't need a Hail Mary touchdown. He needed what he got, 35 yards. So it had to make – I feel bad for the Cowboys and their defense and their secondary. If they had – maybe they didn't even watch that. You know, their season's over, so maybe they didn't even watch it. But that hurts. That has to hurt. But like I said, a lot of quarterbacks, when they got out there to his left, he's pretty near the sideline. He even sees maybe this tight end coming across there a little bit open. But he didn't have to wind up and throw this ball 35 yards down. He flipped it down there, and it was right on target. The guy made a great play. Good job staying in bounds, getting his knees on the ground. It was a great football play by a great player, but also a good job by their coaching staff in drawing that up. And as I said, I know the Cowboys are sick. I haven't seen it.
You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me the other day, or I think there was one of those dopey polls somewhere about whether Eli's going to the Hall of Fame. And I said 100% he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. And I gave all the reasons why. But you know what? Even though quarterbacking is not a game of one-on-one, okay? And again, we have this amazing doubleheader on Sunday where I think the four quarterbacks, and Maddie's not even been to one yet, have 10 Super Bowl games among them, and they've won seven, okay? So when you look at this whole thing, but then I go back and look at Eli's career. And when the sides were even, and even when he had to go on the road, look at the quarterbacks that he beat along the way to win in Super Bowls. He beats Favre and Favre's team in Lambeau. He beats Aaron Rodgers in an Aaron Rodgers team in a year when Aaron Rodgers was 15-1. And oh, by the way, he beats Tom Brady twice. And oh, by the way, he went into Dallas one time and beat Tony Romo and the Cowboys in a season where they were 13-3.
They had beaten us twice that year too. Yeah,
and so Eli's street cred as a Hall of Fame player are well lined up. But here's what I want to know: is there a ticking clock for a quarterback? I don't know if you've even talked about this with him. Does he walk away from this season saying, "Oh my God, you know, I'm 36 now, and that's I got to check that box because that's another chance lost."
Well, I think you get to point, so you're 36 now. A lot of times it's how you feel. Eli has been fortunate, not a lot of injuries. He hadn't missed any time. I think if you go out and watch Eli throw, you can't say there's been any drop off in his velocity on the football. They didn't have as good offensive year this year as they have the last two, but physically I think he's the same player. Now it's up to him to try to maintain that. And it takes more. As you get, when you hit, say, post 35, it takes a little more training, a little more work, a little more luck, because you've got, if something kind of happens there, it did to Peyton at age 38, for the first time, he got an injury, and then he got another injury. Little things, but that's kind of what happened. So you train harder and you hope for good fortune there. But I think what's really important for a quarterback is you get in your, as I think Fury Reese said the other day in the back nine, is to have a good team around you. if you get to be 38 and you're not winning any games, they're probably going to look for someone else. That's the way football is. So I think the most important thing is trying to maintain your health and have a good team around you and win football games.
All right, the guy that I think of is the other 18 in the family. Oh, what's his name? He's had a year off now. He's having a year off. Is he getting the itch to do something, Arch?
Well, he's still busy. I think he'll try to make some plans now that he's gotten through this football season this spring. He's going to probably follow up on some people that have talked to him about different things, whether it be in football, whether it be in business, whether it be whatever. He likes to stay busy. I think he'll make – Peyton's pretty good about having a plan, about setting some goals. So he's – I'm real proud of Peyton, the way he's handled everything, Mike. He's had a good fall. He's been really busy with a lot of things, but he's enjoyed watching some football, keeping up with some people. He hadn't gotten too close to it. He's not going to – I think he went out to see the Broncos one time, took the kids out there. But so he's not getting real close to it or being around it. But he's – I think it's out of his, without a doubt, it's out of his system. He knew he was 40 years old, and he just didn't think that was the place he needed to be when he's 40 years old. I think he's handled it real well, so we'll see.
Arch, my pops, he turns 93 next week, and he always says the same thing to me. If you didn't know how old you were, how old would you think you are? And when you watch Brady play, are you able to just kind of separate yourself from knowing how old he is and just say, this could be 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Arch, I don't see any drop off with the guy.
No, I haven't been. You know, Drew Brees the same way, Mike. And I think there's something to it now. There's a, you know, there's no secret formula. I think part of it is you can don't get hit too much or have too many injuries early in your career as you go along, but also maybe some secrets there of taking good care of yourself and, you know, diet, nutrition, workouts, and different things. All those things have kind of changed. Both those guys, I don't see any drop off at all. And no doubt in my mind, he's going to, you know, and hopefully he doesn't have any injuries because he's certainly going to play some more years.
All right, let me ask you a couple of college football questions to the pride of Oxford, Mississippi, and the child of Drew, Mississippi. Okay, you watched that national championship game. We can debate whether it was better than Vince Young against SC. Here's what I know about Deshaun Watson. In two consecutive title games, he threw for 800 yards against Nick Saban's defense. He nearly had 1,000 yards of total offense in those two games. And when he had to take his team down the field, he did. Do you see a star NFL quarterback when you watch this kid play, Arch?
Yeah, I think he can be. I know Deshaun. He also won the Manning Award. He came to Manning Passing Academy last year. He's a great kid. He wants to be good. He's worked real hard at doing the right thing, not falling any traps. He wants to be, so I think he will be. I don't know if he'll be the first player, the third or fourth or fifth quarterback or where he'll go. Don't know if he's ready to get thrown in there right away. You never know. It's a huge transition, but I think he's got the mindset. He's certainly got the athletic ability that he can be a really good quarterback in the National Football League.
Arch, when it was time for you, you know, you had taken such a terrible beating for so long. You had squandered what, you know, could have been a completely different career if no equivalency, but if you'd had a Patriots team, if you'd had a coach like Belichick. So there was no question, I don't think, for you when it's time to say goodbye. But is that still the hardest thing for any athlete to come to grips with?
I think so. I think because it's something about an athlete. You don't always see the big picture. Some other people, sometimes your coach, sometimes your family, your fans, sometimes they see something that you just don't see. I guess you can call it pride. You can call it ego. You can call it whatever it is, but it's just really, really hard. And so many times there's still things out there you want to accomplish. You've fallen short of some of your goals. So it is a very difficult thing.
What were Sundays like this fall with only one game to worry about?
Fun. You know, we went through 7 hours of stress every Sunday because they never played at the same time.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Always different times. So you go 3.5 hours, you sweat one out. Now let's flip over to another, another channel and let's do it again. So, you know, it was cool watching Giants games, and the Giants got everything they could get out of this. They got 11 wins out of that season this year. But Mike, I think they got everything they could get out of it. But it was fun watching them win games. Offense wasn't as good as we'd like it to be, but it was fun winning games. And it was kind of fun because Peyton was usually watching, and it was fun getting texts from him. Not
right.
Criticizing, not big things, just little texts along the way, whether it be clock management, whether it be, he knew exactly where a protection breakdown was. He knew exactly what a receiver did on a play, whether it was good or bad. So that was kind of cool it was a little different side of watching a Giants game, having his insight from a quick little short text.
And I have a feeling that Olivia's life in particular on Sundays got a lot better.
Yeah, it was a long Sunday. You sweat those games out. You really do. So it was a good fall. It was a good fall, and we'll look forward to, hopefully a few more.
Ernie Accorsi, our dear friend, he was the Giants general manager who made one of the great deals in the history of sports to move up that day and get Eli. He said that Olivia once said that Eli got his calm from her mother. Is that accurate?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. She was a wonderful lady. But the boys called her Gan Gan. Frances Williams, strong lady, wonderful lady. She was a basketball and junior college basketball player, and she was the first lady in the state of Mississippi to fly an airplane, get her pilot's license. She didn't stay a pilot. She just did it. But anyway, great lady, and Olivia's calm. Olivia is very calm and handles everything really well.
You know, I'll give you one more quote from Ernie, because I love it. And he's a Unitas guy, and he was a kid, and he grew up watching Unitas, and he worked for the Colts. And he said, there's a million ways to measure quarterbacks. And he said, all I know is that the old Colts used to tell me that when they were on the road and the team bus was pulling into the stadium and they looked over at that seat and saw Unitas in it, they know that they have a chance that day. And when we're talking about quarterbacks, Arch, that has to be a part of it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And people need to realize, a lot of times fans don't do that. Every one of those quarterbacks is made up just a little bit different. Some people think there's got to be a model there, that you've got to be this kind of leader, and if you can't scramble or if you scramble too much, this and that. There's different shapes and forms, but Bud Grant used to say it's between the ears, and a lot of times it really is, especially for a quarterback, between the ears. But it's usually about developing respect. That's one thing I told my kids: when you enter the league, you want to gain respect. And the first thing, you got to get it from your teammates. You got to get it from your teammates and coaches, and then you develop it throughout the league from the people you're going against. So hopefully they accomplish that.
As usual, my friend, thank you for your friendship. Thank you for taking time today. You know you're one of my favorite people, and enjoy the games on Sunday. Give my love to Olivia, pal.
Mike, always a pleasure being with you, buddy. Take good care.
The original number 18, Archie Manning. We're going to end the podcast today with Zach Lupica, who's going to handicap Falcons versus Packers. I think the last time my son Zach was on, I told you that the power of Favre and the power of the Sunday Ticket on DirecTV turned him into a Packers fan, despite the fact that his two older brothers are crazed New York Giants fans. So there have been some awkward moments in our family, particularly when the Giants once again played the Packers in the playoffs. Zach was there when it was 20 below at Lambeau, watched the Packers lose in overtime in an NFC Championship game. Zach was there when the Packers were 15-1, and it was Eli Manning who threw the Hail Aaron pass at the end of the first half to Akeem Nicks and changed that game. And so going into last Sunday's game against the Cowboys, I took Zach's temperature before the game, and he said to me he was hesitantly optimistic going into the championship game against the Falcons, who, with the Packers, played one of the games of the year during the regular season. How would you gauge your level of optimism about your 8-in-a-row team?
I'd put it pretty much where it was against Dallas. I didn't feel great going into the Giants game based off the past, and I hadn't seen enough from our team to have enough confidence in them. Then they beat the Cowboys. They're about 5-point underdogs again. I still feel pretty good. It's going to be a shootout, but it doesn't seem like anybody can stop our number 12 right now.
Zacho, when you look at all the injuries that are affecting your team right now, starting with Jordy Nelson, who's their best receiver, who, as we're doing the podcast, we're still not sure whether he's going to play or not, and Devontae Adams and everything, you clearly believe that the most important potential loss for the Packers is on the other side of the ball with Morgan Burnett, right?
Yeah, they right now, Jordy, Devontae Adams and Geronimo Allison, three of our top four receivers, aren't practicing. Morgan Burnett's not practicing, but I almost feel like the guys on offense are a luxury at this point, that he's going to be able to make the offense go no matter what. And it also feels like McCarthy's being hush-hush about it, because they only have three more wide receivers on the entire roster. They're not calling anybody up, so you get the feeling that at least one or two of those guys is going to play. But you saw last week against Dallas that without Morgan Burnett on the field, they're defense doesn't run the way it's supposed to, and I want to get him back he's going to help us against Atlanta. And then if we can just get all the receivers back in Houston, then we'll be good to go.
I asked Zach the other day, who's going to cover Julio Jones? And Zach said, nobody can cover Julio Jones. Zachy, let's go back to the Cowboys game for a second, because no one follows the Packers more passionately than Zach does. Nobody knows more about the Packers as a fan than Zach does. So Zach saw the Hail Aaron pass to Richard Rodgers on Thursday Night Football. He saw the two passes to Janis in the Cardinals game last year when the Packers are looking at 4th and 20 from their 4-yard line with 55 seconds left. Okay. Zach, you believe that the pass to Jared Cook last week is the best play you've ever seen Rodgers make?
Yeah, there's nothing, if you watch this guy every week, there's nothing that you don't think he can do. So there's nothing that surprises you anymore. But the thing that he hasn't been able to do is win one of those really close last-second playoff games. You've seen them lose it. You've seen them lose it in overtime. He's never won an overtime game. So going down the stretch there when it got super close, that was the one time where I was unsure, because you hadn't seen them pull that game out ever. And they finally did, and now you feel pretty good with the game on the line with Mr. Crosby, and maybe that was the hurdle they needed to get over.
So, Zach, describe your mood at when it's 28-28, and all the momentum of the game seems to be going against your team. And then you factor in history, what you saw happen in the championship game against the Seahawks, where all sorts of calamities had to occur, including the onside kick, for them to lose. And then, okay, twice you've seen Rodgers lose a coin flip in overtime, in the playoffs, and never get to touch the ball again. So there's got to be a part of you, as much as you love your team, that thinks that they're going to lose the same game again.
Yeah, I thought once the Cowboys tied it, I thought the Packers would lose. It had overtime written all over it. I saw us losing the coin toss, not being able to stop them. But yeah, my mood was not good. I was with some friends, went to watch it by myself. Pretty much just panic attack for the last 5 minutes of the game, sweating it out. But that last Crosby field goal could have went either way, and luckily it ducked right for us.
All right, so let's look at the Falcons game. Why will the championship game in Atlanta be different than the one-point game, last-second game we saw during the regular season?
Well, I think it's not even comparable. The week we didn't have Randall Cobb, Jared Cook, Ty Montgomery in that game. They had Julio Jones banged up. Mohamed Sanu had a big game. But if Julio Jones is 100% healthy, he will eat you alive. And they'll put Ladarius Gunter on him, and he guarded Beckham, and he did a pretty good job. And then you saw Dez Bryant kind of put it on him at the end of the last game. But I think what's important for the Packers this game, they need to put together the whole game on offense. Against the Giants, they went about the first 25 minutes without scoring, and they only found themselves down 6. They went 25 about minutes in the second half against Dallas without scoring, and if you do that against this team, you're going to be down 14. You're not just going to be tied or down 6. So they need the defense to do what they can, but they need the offense to prevent the Falcons' offense from ripping us up.
Do you think the biggest factor in this game might be that you're not attending it in person? Because you did see the Packers win the Super Bowl with Aaron in person in Arlington, okay? But you lost those two games at Lambeau, and then we'll tell everybody about your success rate, your success rate this season.
Well, I think in my career I'm 2-8. And as the Packers' winning percentage is probably in the 650s since I've been a fan. But yeah, I went to the game in Tennessee and then the game in Washington on the 20th of November. And that got us to 4-6. And I stopped going. And then we started winning. So I guess you could. But I was saying that maybe it took me wearing a couple losses to really get the team back on track. You know, if we're cruising the playoffs 12-4, you don't know if we're here. But we would go 4-6. We were on the table. And, you know, the rest is history.
Last second, last minute game. Who wins the NFC Championship game? Who is going to the Super Bowl from the NFC?
I think the Packers will pull it out. Rodgers in the dome. As much as I'd like this game to be at Lambeau, you got to like having our guy in the fast track. 366 yards, 4 touchdowns the last time you played there in the playoffs. I think it could come down again to who gets the last the ball last, but it's going to be a shootout, and I think that the Packers have the slight edge.
The only thing I can tell you is, as much as I love my youngest son, we will be watching this game not only in different venues, but different states. So our only contact during the game probably will be by text. It was a little too intense for me last Sunday, but Zach has turned me into an Aaron Rodgers fanboy, and to the extent that I will actually, both of us, we'll be rooting against a Boston College man quarterbacking the other team. So there you have it. We're down the final four. Four quarterbacks in the final four. 10 Super Bowls among them. Ryan hasn't been yet, and he might be having as good a season as any of them. Enjoy the games on Sunday. We'll be talking about them next week. Again, please subscribe to this podcast. Please download this podcast. Please listen to my boys, Zach, Alex, Chris, In the Loop. You can always find it on their Twitter account. You can find it on my Twitter account. It sounds exactly the way young guys, as they say, chopping it up about sports. Talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lupica Podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica Podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica Podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.